Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Read the first 11 verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 6 will be our motto text this year, which we'll be especially focusing on. But we will read the first 11 verses of the letter of Paul to the Philippians. This is God's holy, living, and life-giving word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all, how I yearn with you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. As for the reading of God's word, let us pray that the Lord would help us understand it. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and teach us as we ponder your precious word. Lord, let it enter into our hearts and minds and transform us in our thinking so that we might walk with you in all boldness and confidence, knowing that you will always complete the work that you begin and have begun to do. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, all of us are creatures of time. We live in time. As creatures of time, we are confident about the past. We know what happened before. We are aware of the present. We know what's going on now. But we are uncertain about the future. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. We love to think about what might happen tomorrow, or perhaps if I do A, B, and C, this might happen tomorrow, but quite frankly, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. 1 year ago, we didn't know what would happen in 2024. This year, we don't know what will happen in 2025. If we were to go with all the unexpected events of 2024 just in our little local congregation, we would be shocked of all the things we didn't know. We cannot see tomorrow. Only tomorrow we will know what tomorrow brings. Today we can only guess what tomorrow has in store. The reason why I'm saying this is because the Apostle Paul was a man like us. He was physically bound to the present as we are. And yet he lived as a man who could look beyond time with certainty. He was able to look into the future and says, this will certainly happen, as though it was in the past. He could see the future, but not only his future, he could see the future of the people he was writing to. That's what our verse is about. He is saying, this is what will happen in your future. Listen to this. Philippians 1 verse 6, our motto text. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What made him so sure about what would happen in the future? Could he look into the future? Did he have some special eyesight? Did he have a travel machine in which he could go into the future and then come back? No. At least, not literally. But he could know the future based upon his knowledge of God and his knowledge of the promises of God. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul knew that God would never leave his work unfinished. And so he could look into the future because he knew God would be there and he had made a promise, and so that would certainly come to pass. As Christians, we are the only people in the world who can live with an eternal perspective and know what will happen in the future. The world wants to know, or they want to live forever to find out, but we know what will happen in the future. Not just we hope, we know what will happen in the future. The Apostle Paul, beloved, was an eternal citizen. He lived in eternity. He was physically in the present, but he lived with an eternal perspective. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live with the same eternal perspective. As deacons and elders, we are to live with an eternal perspective, not just to the present, not just what is happening right now, but we must always live with our eyesight on eternity, not as what might happen, but what will happen. To look beyond the present and see our lives and each other's lives in an eternal perspective. You realize that, elders and deacons, that the people you deal with every week are eternal souls? That in a billion years from now, if we would count time, they're still alive? And the smallest cup of water that you bring will still have an eternal reward ahead in a billion years of time? The souls that you console with the Word of God are eternal souls. Brothers and sisters, do you know that the people that sit next to you in the pew are eternal souls? This body will perish, but we will be given a new body and live forever. And so we are called to understand eternity, God's power and His promises, and live with confidence, knowing that He will finish the good work which He started. To live with that perspective constantly as we walk with one another, as we see each other's life go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, as we grow. To realize that God is at work in the people who gather here in this very building, that He will complete that work. Sometimes we bump into each other. Sometimes we are a little rough when we come near each other and we wish the work was already done. It'd be so much easier if we're already made perfectly in love in Christ. But that's just thinking about the present, isn't it? That's where struggles come in. That's where we start rubbing each other the wrong way when we just think about the present. Well, you're not the way that I want you to be right now. Well, you're not the way I want you to be right now. That's present. That's what the world thinks. I don't like you right now the way that you deal with me. Paul says, I'm not thinking about it that way. I know that the work that God has begun to do is you, He will finish. I see the first fruits. And when I see the first fruit, I know God is going to give the whole harvest. Because He always does, and He has promised He will. Now, elders and deacons, you are especially called to have an eternal perspective. Sorry. For we are called to recognize the value of each soul in this local congregation. This is not normal work that you do. You're dealing with eternal souls. We must recognize that God has begun a good work in the souls of this church. And His beloved children at Seven Reformed Church, and we're called to support and protect the work that God is doing here in our city, in our church, in our hearts. And so Philippians 1 verse 6, beloved, will be our motto text as we seek to grow in our confidence in God's work as we seek to be citizens of eternity while living in the present. And to better understand this passage, we will look at 3 points. You can find them in your bulletin. We'll begin with the first one, the beginning of the good work seen in believers. And this is the question I would like to ask with this point. Where did Paul's confidence for the salvation of the believers in Philippi come from? Was he just a very positive guy that just thought, well, I just like to say positive things. I'm sure he will finish it. Was he saying it in that kind of way that we might hear false confidence? I'm sure if you do this, it'll work out. You never know it will. No. When he says, I'm sure, he is sure. Filled by the Spirit, sure. What is it based on? It wasn't based on some unique insight he'd received from God. It wasn't that God whispered in his ear, by the way, the people you're writing to, I will finish the work in them specifically. It wasn't based on a special love he had for the believers, which of course he had, which we read in the text as well. It wasn't based upon the confession of believers they might one time made. Well, if you made that one, God has to finish the work. There was something else. Paul's confidence of their salvation was based upon the fruit that he had seen in their life. It's based upon the fruit that the gospel had produced in their life when they heard the gospel. Let me read it to you. Verses 3 to 5 in Philippians. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Or for you all, making my prayer with joy. And then this. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The believers at Philippi had become partners with the Apostle Paul in the gospel. They had heard the gospel, but not just that, they had become partners with him. We want this gospel to go forth, Paul. What can we do to help? This needs to be the message that goes to all our neighbors, to all the area surrounding us. What can we do to help you spread the gospel? Tell us. We want to help. This is the best message that anyone can hear. How can we help? We want to be partners. Paul is being mistreated. We'll be mistreated with him. Paul is being persecuted. We'll be persecuted with him. For this message has to go forth. Fruit. Something had changed in their hearts. It wasn't just, I'll take this to go to eternal life. Thank you very much, Paul. Keep on doing your work. I'm on my way to heaven. No, no, no. They had heard it. It had changed their hearts. And now they want to be partakers with the gospel. Read a similar thing in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all. This is what he's basing this right, that God will finish the work. Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. The same grace that is found in me is found in you. Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul is saying, what God has done in me, he has done in you. And therefore, when I went to prison, you went there with me. You provided for me. You cared for me. You risked your life for me. When I defended the gospel, you stood with me. We became the same kind of people. The Apostle Paul was confident in the salvation of the believers at Philippi because he had seen spiritual fruit in their lives. The gospel had changed them. That's why he's confident. You see that? They'd become partakers of grace. They were with Paul and in his imprisonment. In other words, the gospel had transformed their lives to the point that they loved the work and the ministry of the gospel. They loved the preaching of the word. They loved other people to hear about Christ. They wanted everyone to hear about the good news of God. They wanted everyone to know, no matter the cost. as Paul wanted everyone to know, no matter the cost. This is why Paul says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ. Paul had seen a genuine work in these believers. It was their wasn't their church membership or the sincerity of their confession. It was the fruit of their lives. It was the first work in their life that made Paul confident that God would continue that work and complete it. You see that? That's what the confidence is anchored on. This is why it's so important to read the passage surrounding it, isn't it? Somebody might take this passage and say, well, I'm sure I'll go to heaven because God has to now, because hey, he has to complete whatever he started. Okay, but has he started it? And if he has, you can be confident, no matter how small. Even if there's just two berries on the tree, it produces fruit. And he will complete it. He will finish it. Brings us to the second point. The continuity of the good work is anchored in God. So far, Paul has explained why he is confident that God has done a genuine work in the Philippian believers. But what gave him the confidence that God would continue that work in them? Was it just Paul trying to be positive about God, trying to market God positively? After he writes, I am sure of this, that God will finish it. He is sure. Paul was sure that God would finish the work that he'd begun to do. Now, where did he get this confidence? Sometimes we read this passage, right? And we say, well, this is the confidence. It's here, absolutely. But where did Paul get his confidence from? From Jesus. Let me give you a few passages, and I could go on probably in the entire morning to give you passage after passage. Let me give you just a few from the Gospel of John. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. That's that initial coming, right? That first fruit will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Whoever comes to me, first fruit, enters to me through the gospel. No matter how long the time goes afterwards, he will never cast them out. Eternal salvation. Once you're in and you'll never go out, because God will never cast you out. John 10, 28 to 29. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Whoever is in the hand of the Father, whoever is in the hand of the Son, will never be able to be snatched out of God's salvation and care. Last one, John 17, verse 12. Some will say, I've heard this preached. Well, nobody can take them out of your hand, but maybe you can crawl out. Maybe you can jump out. Really? John 17, 12. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus says, I kept them. Not just I protect them from outside sources, I kept them in. I guard them. There is no climbing out of the hand. That is the protection from the outside. Jesus says, I will keep them. I will guard them. I will keep them in, because he knows we are foolish sheep. We might run the wrong way, and yep, if it's just a hand you can climb out, then we'll probably climb out. We're not that wise. But Jesus says, I have kept them like a shepherd. Shepherd doesn't just go fight off bears somewhere. He keeps the flock, and no one can run away. He watches over us. In other words, Jesus repeatedly taught the same thing. If someone genuinely comes to me, I will never cast them out. They're with me forever. Those who are genuinely saved will never be lost. When God begins a good work, he will finish it. God is never wasting his energy and his saving power on anyone. When he starts, he will finish. He is not like so many that start a project and then finish it. You might have had a father and an uncle who had a yard full of started projects that were never finished. And now they're rusting in the yard somewhere. Every morning you walk by and you think, well, one day we're going to fix up that old timer and complete it. But it's still there. And then quietly one day it's sold or put under some mud. Not with God. When he starts, he finishes. He completes what he initiates. Here is the fundamental truth of our motto text. Genuine salvation is eternal salvation. Genuine salvation is eternal salvation. No one, not us, not the devil, not the flesh, can take us out of the saving hands of God. If you are genuinely saved, you will be forever genuinely saved. If you have genuine fruit, you can be assured that you will be forever producing genuine fruit, just more in the future. That's glorious, isn't it? Let's put this together. Paul knows from Jesus that all those who are saved will forever be saved. Now, with that in mind, he has seen God really producing real fruit in the believers at Philippi. That's why he can write to them, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will finish it. You see that? Now, I do think we need to put a warning here because of the abuse of this verse and this doctrine. Because whatever is beautiful in God's word, Satan will try to make a counterfeit that looks just like it and spread it as far and wide as he can. And so some people say something like this. If you say at one point in your life that you are a follower of Jesus, then you assuredly go to heaven. So many people think that they are on their way to God, on their way to heaven, because they've made some kind of profession of faith or were baptized at a certain point. And because of that, they must go to heaven. But they don't have any fruit of salvation. They don't have a passion for the spread of the gospel. They don't have a transformed heart that hates sin and longs for righteousness. They don't follow the Holy Spirit's leading or guidance, but they pursue their own earthly dreams. They have no love for prayer, the Bible, or Christian fellowship whatsoever. If they could, they wouldn't come to church, but they'd sit somewhere in some house of entertainment somewhere else. And yet they hear, you are fine, for God will finish the work he started to do in you. That is not fair to them and to their souls. And it's not right before God, because that is not what Paul is talking about. He's not saying if once upon a time you said, okay, I'll follow Jesus, then God started the work. If you betrayed your own soul by giving some kind of false profession of faith, this does not bind God to one day bring you to heaven. What Paul is saying is simply this. If God started a work in you, which other people can recognize by the fruit of your life, then we can be confident that work will be done and finished one day in the future. Paul's confidence in their salvation was grounded in the evidence that he had seen in their life. And I think we can say that today. I don't think Paul had special apostolic authority writing these things, what he wrote here. I think we can say that today. Now, we got to be careful with that. But I think we can say it today. I think we could say to one another, if you can see that the gospel has transformed somebody's life, you can say, what I see in your life, I think Philippians 1:6 applies to your life. Otherwise, why would it be given to us in Scripture? If I can see the fruit of God in your life, and I can see you love the Word of God and you love prayer and know you're not perfect, and yes, you still see your own mistakes in your life because the work's not done, but there's a genuine work going on in your life, I think it's perfectly right to say, I am convinced that God will finish the work that He started in you, brother. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, sister. God will complete the work. He will finish it. You have genuine fruit. And God never stops halfway. We don't have to be trembling over my soul if there is genuine fruit in your life. There will be a genuine completion of the work of God in your life. And that's what Paul is doing to the Philippian believers. He's given them confidence. I know God will finish the work in you. I know He will bring it to completion in your life. I've seen the fruit. And I know what heavenly fruit looks like. It's a love for heavenly things and a disinterest in earthly things. And that's from heaven. So I know God stepped into your life, and I know He will complete it one day. It's good to say that, brothers and sisters, to people that are genuinely producing fruit. It's okay. Brings us to the third point. The completion of the good work. Beloved, what is Paul's confidence in our motto text next year? This year. He's not saying, I'm sure God will do a little work every day. Sometimes we use that verse, right? If you don't read it carefully, this is a well-known verse, and there's a tendency with well-known verses to misapply them. And sometimes we think, well, God will do a good work. He will keep working in you. Okay. Even as that's true, that's not what Paul is writing here. He is writing about a specific day in the future. He's not saying, not in this verse, he's saying it in other verses, but not in this verse, he's not saying God will do a little work every day. He is talking about God will finish the work on a specific day. Did you notice that? And I'm sure of this, that He who began a good day, a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He is saying, I know the work will be completed on a certain day in the future. Not just any day, a specific day. So the question is, what is the day of Jesus Christ? Well, this day actually is described in a couple of passages in the New Testament. One of them is 1 Corinthians 4:1-8. I will give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge. Same idea, right? It's all speech and all knowledge. God has given you a new speech, a new knowledge. I can see the fruit of God working in your life. Verse 6, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. Christ's word given out, it was confirmed that it bore fruit in your life. Same idea. 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So they were waiting for something, the Corinthian church. They were waiting for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then comes the connection to our verse, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, again that day. Who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Paul gives more information. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ is the day of the revealing of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's the day of Jesus' return when he appears to all of us, when we all see him. Then we will be guiltless, and then the work will be complete. You see that? Then the believers at Philippi will be completed. The believers in Corinth will be completed. Then they will be instantaneously perfected. Perfect. They will be made perfectly reflecting Jesus. In other words, the work wasn't done yet. There was a final work to be done among the believers at Philippi, and Paul says, I have seen your desire for the gospel, but I know your discouragement in your own lack of fruitfulness at this point. I recognize that you have a desire for more. You want to be here, but you're here. Now, let me give you confidence by looking forward to a day when Jesus is revealed, when he comes back. Then you'll be here. Then you will be perfected. Then you will be completed. Then the work of God will be done. And Paul was confident that they were on their way to perfection. Do you see that? An eternal perspective. Now, think about that practically. If we were to live like eternal citizens, remember at the beginning of the sermon we talked about we're creatures of time. We look to the past, we're confident, we look in the present, we're kind of aware. We look to the future, it's mystery. Paul says, no more mystery. You need to live with an eternal perspective, looking forward to that day when we know that God will perfect his work, complete his work, where we will all perfectly reflect Christ. If we realize that all the brothers and sisters here in whom Christ has begun to do a good work will be completed, then we can live rightly now. Associate with each other properly. One day you'll be perfect. One day I'll be perfect. I expected that you all had a big sigh of relief at this point. That's a lot of work that God has to do in his brother. Right? But one day I'll be perfect. So we can love one another even more. Knowing that one day we'll be perfect. Not yet. There's still a lot of work to be done. When Christ returns now, there'll be a lot of work in that moment in my life, in your lives. But do you see, when we begin to live with this eternal perspective in view, that one day I will see you, brothers and sisters, perfect in Christ. Perfect in love and patience and kindness and care. I see that fruit already in you in part. I see the joy of the Lord in part in you, and it gives me great hope. But if I'm only a temporal citizen, I would say, but it's not really complete yet. But if I think as an eternal citizen, I can say, but wait a minute. It's pointing forward to the work of completion. And that's what I'm longing for. And that's what I'm going to prepare you for, brother. And I pray that's what you prepare me for, brother and sister. That together we can grow in anticipation of that perfection where we will all be perfect with Christ and in Christ. And so as we apply this, elders, labor like a faithful farmer, plowing and sowing, directing, reprimanding, but also sharing, comforting, as you are on your way, leading other pilgrims on their way to Christ, working diligently in the hearts and minds of brothers and sisters, helping them on their way, seeing and cultivating that first fruit so that it bears more fruit, so that one day they will stand before Christ. And deacons, be like the Apostle Paul encourage brothers and sisters given under your care and treasure them as the people of God, eternal souls given into your hand by your Father to care for them, to watch over them, to protect them, to love them, to show them the love of Christ and to encourage them to show the love of Christ. Show them what God has shown you. Care for your brothers and sisters as you await the coming of the Lord. It could be tomorrow. He could come today. Love the brothers and sisters as you prepare them for their perfect work when they are perfected in the presence of Christ. When they're difficult, remember there's first fruit and there's perfection. Remember, they will be perfect. But now, show your love by helping the imperfect. And to every one of us here, let us test ourselves to see if we bear the same kind of fruit as the Philippians. That we have that same love for the gospel. That same love that gave the Apostle Paul confidence, saying, I am sure of this. That he who began a good work and you will finish it and bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Let us be sure that God has begun a good work in us, for then we can be certain that God will complete it. Let there be genuine fruit, and let the genuine fruit grow and grow and grow, and deal with one another with grace, knowing that they will be perfected one day, which means that you are still imperfect. And if you're imperfect, you can be gracious to other people's imperfections. But live as eternal citizens, knowing that in a few short years, or days, or minutes, or seconds, they will be perfected. He's coming soon, brothers and sisters. He is almost back. Let's be ready. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the eternal word of the living God, for your word given to us. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to walk faithfully with an eternal perspective in mind as we live in this temporal world, knowing that all those in whom you began a good work will be completed in the day of Christ. So, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.